Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin preaches a message from God's Word titled, The Real Jesus, Why He's Better Than You Think, a fall series through the Gospel of John, chapters 4 through 7.
Almost all of us have known people who seemingly follow Jesus and then walk away. Maybe they were a church member. Maybe they were a Sunday school teacher, a deacon. Maybe even a pastor who once walked with the Lord, who's no longer walking with Jesus now. And you rightly wonder, what happened? What happened to them? What happened to their faith? Their faith seemed to be so alive, so vibrant, and then it's gone. And you rightly wonder, what happened? For others, this question's important because you've been wondering if that sin that you committed or that sin that you have done in the past, that abortion, that adultery, that affair, if somehow that has changed the mind of God in his commitment to you, and you've wondered if he's given up on you. Some of you are wondering if you can out-sin his grace and that something you can do that Jesus looks at you and says, get out. These are the questions for real life. Some of us are wondering about family members that we've had that seemingly have followed Christ in the past, but we haven't seen any fruit in their lives for 20, 30, 40 years. And we're wondering, what is going on there? How do we think about this? And so the question I have this morning is, can you lose your salvation? But better said, does Jesus begin projects that he doesn't finish? Does Jesus begin projects he doesn't finish? So here's my goal of the sermon. Here's my goal for you this morning, that you will see that your eternal security is not based on your ability to keep your salvation. Because if it were, you'd lose it. I'd lose it. But your eternal security is not based on your ability to keep it, but Jesus's ability to keep you. That's the goal this morning. These are real life questions. But I want you to know the Bible is given to us not for academics, not for just professional theologians. The Bible is given for real life. So let's turn to the scriptures this morning and see what God's word has to say in John chapter 6, verse 37 through 40. John chapter 6, verse 37 through 40. I'm going to read the text and then we'll break it down verse by verse. John 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the word of Christ to us this morning. And to understand it, we have to understand the background a little bit. Jesus is addressing people who are wondering many of the same questions that you are wondering. There are people there in John chapter 6 who seemingly follow Jesus. They look like Jesus' followers. They look like they believe. They even follow him and they say, Jesus, we want some more bread. We've tasted of the bread there at the feeding of the 5,000. And they followed him and they want some more bread. But by the end of the chapter, they're going to leave. And so the question in John 6 is, why are they leaving? What's going on? And that tension that we feel of why do some people abandon and other people continue, that tension is right there in John chapter 6 that Jesus is addressing. They didn't understand that the message of Jesus was not to earn your way into the kingdom of God, but the way you got into the kingdom of God was by believing in the Son of God. And when you believe in the Son of God and what he's done for you and that his work for you is enough, that's how you get in, not by working yourself. And this message perplex them. Others there are wondering as they see others fall away, will we fall away too? Will we make it to the end? And that's the setting of John chapter 6. And so what I want to show you this morning is five things that you need to know about eternal security. Five things you need to know about eternal security. First, Jesus has a mission from the Father. Jesus has a mission from the Father. Let's look at it in verse 37 and 38. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You see, Jesus came on assignment. He was deployed. He had a mission to carry out. The Father sent Jesus on a mission to do something. The Father said, Jesus, I need you to go. And Jesus says, I will go, Father. And he goes on a particular mission. And you see, we think about Jesus's compassion a lot. But I think if you can look in Jesus's eyes, one of the things you might see in his eyes and heart that you don't normally notice and talk about and think about is you will see the determination in his eyes. Jesus is a determined Savior to do the will of his Father and to save the people that God has sent him to save. And he's determined to do the will of the Father and not just save them, but keep them to the end. You see, Jesus's mission does not end at the cross. You see, the cross is the beginning. Jesus's mission is to make sure you are saved from the beginning and get home to the end. His mission is from salvation from beginning to end. His mission from the Father is to get the people that he has sent him to get from the grave to eternity shore. You see here what's going on. Jesus is coming with determination in his eyes. So what's the mission? That those whom God saves, those who look to Christ, that Jesus will keep them. He will not lose them. You see, Jesus' mission isn't just to save you, it's to keep you. His mission isn't just to save you at the cross, but to keep you all the way until you arrive at heaven's doors. Jesus' mission is bigger than just you getting saved. He's actually interested in saving you. Often you've used this illustration, but I think it's important to use again, that some people describe salvation as people being in a water, in water, they're out in the ocean and they're struggling to swim and Jesus comes up in the boat and he throws them a life raft and says, you can have salvation. I've come that you might have salvation. He throws it out and he says, take on the life raft if you would like to be saved. Well, that's a little inadequate picture of what Ephesians 2 says. Ephesians 2 tells us that the picture is a lot worse, that we are actually spiritually dead, not spiritually drowning. Ephesians 2 tells us not that we're sitting there teetering in the water, whether we'll sink or swim. It says actually that we're spiritually dead, that we're helplessly and hopelessly lost, that we're dead at the bottom of the ocean, and we need more than a life preserver. We need a Savior. We need a Savior who will not just throw us a life preserver and hope that we'll swim to it. We need a Savior who will jump out of the boat, go down to the bottom of the ocean, put us in his arms, bring us to the top, breathe life into our lungs, and then throw us in the boat. We need a Savior who actually saves. We need a Savior who can bring people from death to life. We need a Savior who's actually been raised from the dead and can raise others from the dead too. We need a Savior like that, and that's exactly what we have. You see, Jesus came and does that, and he gets you in the boat. How weird would it be if Jesus got you in the boat and then started tossing people overboard that he just saved? You see, what Jesus is doing, his mission is to go take the boat, rescue the people, and take them back to eternity shore. Jesus' mission is the whole thing from the Father. His mission is to go get them and get them home. That's the kind of Savior we have. That's the mission he's been given. And so Jesus is sent by the Father on a mission to accomplish this. The question I put before you today is, will Jesus accomplish his mission? Will he accomplish his mission? Or will he fail? You see, back in 2003, George W. Bush flew out to a carrier at sea. The Iraq War had begun, and we had made our initial push in Iraq. And he landed to these big banners. Do you remember what they said? Mission accomplished. And he landed and he gave this speech. And it actually came back to kind of haunt him politically, because what we would find out was the war in Iraq was far from over. There was a lot more to be done. We thought it was going to be easier, and it wasn't. and mission accomplished was far from the truth. And you see, he had good intentions that day. We thought we had really made an impact there, and we realized there were more regimes and there was more going on there, and it's still a tough situation. But I'm afraid some of us approach our salvation like that, that we know that at the cross, Jesus declared, mission accomplished, it is finished, but we think the work is not done, the war is not over, and our outcome is not secure, and we think we're still teetering, saved, not saved, saved, not saved. Will Jesus actually save his people? Can he actually declare mission accomplished? See, Jesus has a mission from the Father, and that is to get everyone who looks to Christ for saving faith to get them to eternity's shore. That's his mission. The question is, will he succeed? So this morning, the question isn't whether you can lose your salvation, but whether Jesus will accomplish his mission in saving you. That's the first thing. Second thing, Jesus will accept all those who come to him with authentic faith. Jesus will accept all of those who come to him with authentic faith. We see this in verse 37 and 40. He says, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then later he says that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. I love this because you know who whoever includes? Do you know who everyone includes? Me. It includes you and your spouse and your children and your grandchildren. Whoever comes to Jesus in faith, he will accept him. He will accept them. Whoever will come to Jesus. You see, the thing about Jesus that's great is to be a child of God, you don't have to be of noble birth. To be a child of God, you don't have to have money. To be a child of God, you don't have to have parents who are Christians. To be a child of God, you don't have to know a lot about the Bible. To be a child of God, all you have to do is look to Christ and really, really believe in him. Put your trust in him. And when you believe in him, you are adopted into his family and you become a child of God, not by noble birth, not by money, but by blood. You see, he accepts all of those who will come to him with authentic faith. The doctrine of eternal security is directly related to what you believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe salvation is from beginning to end by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. From beginning to end. You see, this means that your salvation, you never earned it in the first place, so how in the world could you ever lose it? It was never yours to keep. It was his. You see, true salvation is always evidenced by authentic faith. True salvation always is evidenced through authentic faith. One of the challenges we have in the church today is something that we're going to call this morning easy believism. Easy believism. Okay? And some people, rightly understanding that easy believism is a problem, that they begin to abandon the doctrine of eternal security because they say, well, some people believe and then they no longer walk with Jesus. They believed then and they no longer do. They rightly identify the problem, but they come to the wrong solution. They rightly identify the problem, but wrong solution. You see, easy believism is this, that if you'll just raise your hand today, Jesus will save you. If you'll just walk this aisle, Jesus will save you. If you'll just sign that card, Jesus will save you. If you'll just go and get baptized, Jesus will save you. It's just as simple as that. Jesus will save you. But here's the thing. Not one person has ever been saved in history by walking an aisle, going through the waters of baptism, signing a card or raising a hand at VBS. The only way to be saved is by really deep down believing and placing your faith in Jesus Christ, saying, I'm going all in on him. I'm staking my life there. I'm putting my heart there. And I'm saying, I don't know everything, but I know him, and I am going to trust my life in his hands. I'm going to believe in him, and I have authentic faith that he is who he says he is, and he will save me, and he will get me home. When you put your faith in him, he will save you every time. So where is your assurance? Is your assurance in walking an aisle? Because Jesus never called anybody to walk an aisle. They didn't have aisles. Jesus never signed anybody to sign a card. They didn't have a card. Jesus didn't do any of those things. But what Jesus said was, come follow me. Jesus calls people to believe in him. He says, what's the work that you are to do to get into the kingdom of God? Believe in the one that the Father sent. Believe in Christ. Look to Christ. And if you will believe and have authentic faith, he will save you from beginning to end. But because of easy believism, we have a lot of people who think they're Christians but have never truly trusted in Christ. They raised their hand at VBS. They walked an aisle because their friends did. They were baptized because sister or brother was. And we have an epidemic in the church of people who think they're Christians who aren't. And so one of the things I want to be sure of this morning is I do not want to give false assurance by looking at the doctrine of eternal security and saying, don't hear me say, if you've walked an aisle, you're saved. Don't hear me say, if you're baptized, you're saved. Don't hear me say, if you've checked a card, signed a card, or anything like that, you're saved. But I am telling you, if you have placed your faith in Christ and have authentic faith and you've staked your life on him and you believe in the risen Son of God, you are safe for eternity because you are in your Savior's hands. All right, so one of the things that often gets talked about here is this idea of once saved, always saved. But I'm afraid it gets abused. People think, okay, well, I've made that decision at VBS when I was 7. Those 5 affairs and 6 wives I've had don't really matter. But here's the thing. When you've tasted of Jesus, I mean really tasted of Jesus, you can't go live any way you want to anymore because your life will change. There is evidence of a real changed life. You see, if you truly believed, your faith will continue. Authentic faith is a continuing faith. Authentic faith is a faith that lasts. Sometimes we think of once saved, always saved, and what we really mean by that is sometimes people mean they looked saved and therefore always saved. But that's not the case because people can look the part but it not be real. And so Jesus will accept all of those who have authentic faith in him. So the question isn't, can you lose your salvation? The question is, do you have authentic faith? Point number 3, Jesus will never cast out his followers. He's never gonna cast out his followers. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Some of you are wondering if you can outsend God's grace, if that addiction to pornography will somehow make God give up on you, that struggling with same-sex attraction will make God give up on you. Some of you are wondering if that affair will make God give up on you, that abortion that God will give up on you. But I'm telling you, you cannot outsend God's grace. You didn't deserve to be saved in the first place. And therefore, God will not give up on you if you have authentic faith in him. So let me give you an illustration. Last week, we had Family Sunday, and up here we had Summer and Keith Barthold, and Eden, their adopted daughter. I sat over here and I interviewed them. What if in 2 years, year and a half, when Eden's in her terrible twos, Keith comes back up here and he says, we're thinking about getting rid of her. These twos are just too tough. What are we gonna do? We're gonna give her back. How do we give her back? What kind of dad would he be? What kind of father would he be if he was shipping her off? And I want you to know that when you've been adopted into the family of God, it is forever. You have a father who is good, who will never abandon you and never send you back. He will never cast you out because he is a good father who loves you. And when you are his child, you are his child. When you have his name, you have his name. He will never cast you out. If Jesus rescues you and puts you in the boat, he's not gonna start throwing you overboard. You see this language here of I will not cast you out, D.A. Carson, a New Testament scholar, says the language is actually stronger than he just won't throw you out. It's actually that he will keep you in. I will not cast you out, I will keep you in. You will be mine. He is holding you. When you get ready to jump out of the boat of faith, he's ready there to grab you and say, no, I got you, I got you. The question isn't, whether you can lose your salvation, but whether or not you can trust Jesus as the captain of your life. Do you trust him to keep you? Do you trust that what he's done in adopting you is true? Do you trust the promises of God? Jesus will never cast out his followers. So we see Jesus has a mission from his Father. Jesus will accept all those who come with authentic faith. Third, Jesus will never cast out his followers. And fourth, Jesus will never, ever lose one of his followers. Let's read verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me. I want to please my Father, and here's the will of my Father. That I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. He's going to lose nothing. Not one person who has authentic faith in Jesus will be lost. If Jesus said here, I will save most of them, 99.9% of them, what you're going to be wondering is, am I with that 0.1%? He doesn't save. But what Jesus says here is that there has never been one person in all of human history that has had authentic faith in Jesus Christ who has been lost. There's never been one in all of human history that has had authentic saving faith in Jesus Christ that has been lost. He has never lost one of his children. Not once. Not once. If he had, then Jesus would have failed on his mission. Because his mission, remember, wasn't just to go to the cross and save us. It was to save us, but actually save us. Because you see, to save us temporarily isn't really saving. The point of the Father was that the Father loved you so much, he wanted you to be with him in paradise. And so he sent his Son not just to die on the cross for you, but to get you home. And so his job, Jesus' mission, was to come and to die for your sins, to rise on the third day, to send the Spirit to come enliven your heart, and then to keep you all the way through life until the day you meet him face to face. The question and whether before us this morning is whether or not Jesus is a good enough Savior to keep you. Can he do the work? Can you trust him to finish the job? You see, Jesus is a good Savior. And this is good news because it means he's not going to lose you. And if he's never lost anyone, he's not starting with me. He's not starting with you. You know, before long, Calvin will be old enough for us to take camping. You know, and so I was thinking about that recently. And he wants to go camping, but by that he means set up a tent in the living room, right? And so we've been doing that. But eventually we'll go camping. And I was imagining this as I was thinking about this week. Imagine if a dad took a young boy camping and they set up their tent near the cliff with a river underneath. They could hear the water at night. It was nice. But the next morning they got up and the sun went out to play. But like young boys do, he got a little too close to the edge. And he began to slip. Started going down and cried, "Dad, I'm falling." His dad runs over there. And as he's falling, his dad reaches out and grabs his hand and holds on to him. And the young boy looks at his dad and says, "Dad, I can't hold on. I can't hold on any longer. My grip, it's failing. I can't hold on anymore. I'm going to fall." And the father looks at him and says, "Son, my grip is strong. I've got you. You will not fall because you are in my hands." And he pulls him up to rescue him. I want you to know that if you know Jesus Christ, he has you in his grip. When your grip is not strong, his grip is. When your commitment is wavering, his commitment is not. When you feel like you are falling, he is still there for you, and he's got you in his hands, and he will rescue you. Some of y'all are like me. And you suffer like a Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, often things look pretty good in the first quarter. Man, yeah, we're putting it on them. This is good. Second quarter, pretty good. Third quarter, but we're still okay, still okay. But there's this moment in the fourth quarter that often happens with the Cowboys. Is this going to happen again? Are we going to lose again? We've led for three quarters and we're going to blow it in the fourth quarter? And I'm afraid some of us kind of feel about our salvation that way. I mean, Jesus did good at the cross in the first quarter. He did okay in the second quarter. And in the third quarter, but in the fourth quarter, we're really worried that he is going to drop the ball. But I want you to know that Jesus is better than the Dallas Cowboys. He wins every time. He came to win the victory over sin, death, and hell for you. And this means he's not going to lose you in the fourth quarter. He will make sure you arrive safely at eternity's shore because Jesus is our victorious champion. He will never lose one of his followers. This text is saying, if you will come to me, Jesus is saying, if you will come to me, I will not cast you out. And all who come are welcome. And all who are welcomed in the arms of Jesus are safe forever. He's saying, when your love grows cold, and it will, there are going to be days where you don't feel like reading your Bible or sharing the gospel or praying. When your love grows cold on those days, his love is just is hot and burning towards you. When your commitment wavers, his commitment is as strong as ever. He's holding on to you, even when you feel like your grip is failing. So the question isn't whether you can lose your salvation, but will the Savior lose you? And lastly, fifthly, I want us to see Jesus gives eternal life. Jesus gives eternal life. Verse 40. For this is the will of my Father. Jesus saying, this is not my idea. This is the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son and believes, we mean real belief, put their hope, their life in his hands. Everyone who does that will have eternal life. This means your assurance is not coming from walking the aisle, being baptized, or raising your hand at VBS. Your assurance right now, if you want to know whether you are saved or not, the best way I can tell you is this. Do you believe in Jesus at this moment? Do you put your faith in him now? How do you know if it was genuine then? Do you believe now? That's where your assurance comes from. If your assurance is in a piece of card that somebody lost, then that's not going to do it. But if your assurance is in the fact that Christ has continued to work in my life and I continue to believe and I'm growing like those trees in the video and there's marks along the way, but my assurance comes from the fact that my only hope is Christ. He gives eternal life. It's kind of comical, but Jesus can't give eternal life if you can lose it. It wouldn't be eternal, would it? Eternal, by definition, means life everlasting, forever. He doesn't give us eternal life for 2 weeks. He doesn't give us eternal life for 2 months or 20 years. When you have eternal life, it means you have eternal life. Jesus is making a promise to all those who place their faith in Christ, that if you will look to him, he will make sure you arrive safely at home. You can trust him. So if Jennifer and I are out late at night, which means about 8:30, right? And we're coming home, I can guarantee you one thing. Jennifer will be asleep. She'll be asleep over on the passenger seat side, and she'll kind of wake up and say something every now and then. But the reason she can sleep, it's because she trusts that I know where I'm going and I can get us home. But when we're on vacation and we're somewhere we don't know where we're going, she doesn't fall asleep. She's over there on the phone punching all the things in, right? Tell me where to go. Because she doesn't trust me. She doesn't trust I know where I'm going. For good reason. I don't. But here's the good news. That when you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can trust that he knows where he's going. And he's going to get you where you need to be. And so I want to encourage you. If you've placed your faith in him, you can have security that he will make sure you arrive safely on eternity's shore. So the question this morning isn't whether you can lose your salvation, but whether or not you can trust the promises of your Savior. Can he get you home? Can he do it? Can Jesus save even you and make sure you arrive at eternity's shore just like his Father sent him to do? Can he do it? Can Jesus give eternal life? You better believe he can. There's an empty tomb in the Middle East that shows he can. So this morning, can you lose your salvation? Not if you have authentic faith. Because all of those who truly believe are kept by their Savior until they are safe on shore. So what about those people who fall away? What about those who are like in John 6, who look like they follow, but turn out not to really be followers? The scripture is clear that authentic saving faith is a faith that lasts, and that those who fall away, it was because they never truly believed in the first place. I mean, they looked the part. I mean, they looked the same as everyone else. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in how it's lived out later. We can see what was genuine. And so, what I want to encourage you is this. This text should bring amazing comfort to those who are saved. But if you're not, this passage should scare you to death. Because it's saying there is a way to think that you are saved, but you're not. There's a way to go through the motions and think you're good, but you're not. You see, we want people who genuinely believe to have great assurance, but if you have never truly believed in Christ as your Savior, in his blood to save you, if you've never trusted in the work of Jesus, and you've been going through the motions of Christianity, then I want you not to have assurance. I want you to be scared to death because your destination right now is hell and your only hope is in Christ. But I have good news. He'll take anybody, whoever, everyone. All you have to do is come and believe. Put your faith in him for the first time. Truly say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Whatever you ask me to do, I will do. And you will submit to him. And he will say, come follow me. And you say, sure thing, Jesus. But you see, many of us know a lot of people and have family members who once walked an aisle, raised a hand, prayed a prayer. But their life has not been evidenced of following Jesus ever since. One of the things that we sometimes do is try to argue ourselves and talk with ourselves and try to figure out a way for them to be a part of the kingdom of God, even though that we know deep down they don't truly believe. And I want to encourage you this morning, do not get to judgment day trusting in the fact that someone raised a hand at VBS. If you have any doubts about your family member's salvation, share the gospel with them anyway. See, I've never met anybody who was a Christian and then you shared the gospel with them and they said, oh, I'm offended that you told me about Jesus. If they're not saved, then you've told them the good news of Jesus. If they are, they're not gonna be mad. Maybe they'll just be encouraged to share their own faith with somebody else. If you have a family member that you're wondering, I don't know if they're really saved. I don't know if they're really a believer. Don't take the chance. Share the good news of Jesus with them because Jesus will take anyone, and that includes our messed up families. He will take anyone. You see, this issue of eternal security is one that's been talked about a lot. We even have a statement of faith that describes this, and I want to share that with you here. Here's what our church's statement of faith is. It's from the Baptist Faith Message 2000. It says, all true believers endure to the end. Those whom God has accepted in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit will never fall away from the state of grace, but shall persevere to the end. Believers may fall into sin through neglect and temptation, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, and bring a reproach on the cause of Christ and temporal judgment on themselves. Yet they shall be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. So some of y'all thinking statement of faith are dry. That could be a call to worship. That should be a call to worship. So this morning, the real question isn't whether you can lose your salvation, But whether or not Jesus will succeed on his mission to come from the Father to save you and keep you and have you arrive at his Father's shore, will he succeed on his mission? The question isn't whether you are a good Christian this morning. The question is whether he's a good Savior. The question isn't whether or not you can outsin his grace, but whether or not you truly have believed and received grace in the first place. The question isn't whether or not you can keep your salvation, but whether or not Jesus can keep you safe. That's the question this morning. Do you have authentic faith? If so, you're as secure as Fort Knox in Christ Jesus. So the goal of this sermon is simple. The goal of the sermon is simple. That you will see that your eternal security is not based on your ability to keep your salvation, but Jesus' ability to keep you. So maybe the real question we should ask this morning is this. Does Jesus have any unfinished projects? Does he begin something? Start working on it? Start saving it? Start fixing it? Then forget about it? Does Jesus have projects like that? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Philippians 1:6. Notice Paul's certainty here. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Wives, I have some good news for you. Jesus is better than your husbands. You won't find a bunch of unfinished projects with Jesus. Everything he starts to save, he finishes. Everyone he raises to life will see him face to face. Jesus has never lost one of his people. The Father wants you. Do you believe that this morning? The Father wants you. So much so that he sent his son, his only son, on a mission trip. He sent him on a mission trip. He sent him to go to the cross, to live the life you can never live, to die the death that you deserve. The Father wants you badly. The crown of thorn placed upon his head, the nails pierced through Christ's hands. Hanging there in agony as they mocked him. Are you king of the Jews? Jesus was willing to go through the cross to save you. The Father wants you so much that his own son died in your place. But he didn't just want to save you for that moment. The goal, the mission has always been not just to save you, but to make sure you arrive safely at home. The question this morning isn't, can you lose your salvation? But will Jesus accomplish his mission and save you? The Father wants you, and Jesus came to get you. And I have good news for you, that if you truly believe, if you truly have placed your faith in Christ, and you believe in him, and you've been brought into the boat of Christ, one day, probably sooner than we think, you will arrive at eternity's shore, and you will see your Savior face to face. And as you get there, you might just notice a big banner that says, mission accomplished. And this time, it'll be true. Let's pray together.
This concludes the message from Pastor Brady. To find out more about Temple, visit our website at www.tbcgainesville.org.